Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 to 11. And one of the very interesting stories about that day. Okay, I'll read verse 1, and then you read verse 2, and so on, until we finish at verse number 11. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. The Bible reads for us, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem." Verse 2. Verse 3, "When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him." Verse 4. "And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet." Verse 6. Verse 7, "Then Herod, when he had privily or privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared." Verse 8. In verse 9, "When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was." Verse 10. Let's read verse 11 together. "And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh." Okay, let's have a word of prayer, right? Before we continue, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this passage of the Bible, the scriptures. We know, Lord, it is the only book in this world that you have written. And that, God, it is your way of showing us how much you love us. It is a love letter from heaven, Lord, that we can read, we can study, we can begin to understand more and more about who this heavenly creator is and who has sent his only son into this world. And Father, that is the reason why we're here tonight, to remember what you have done. And I pray for one, Lord, who may not have ever experienced the precious love of our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray tonight they will understand a little bit more of what happened during that time. But more than anything, Lord, we know that your spirit is a personal spirit. And that, God, I pray that you will speak to their hearts. And Lord, even as this unworthy servant share your word, I ask you to take control of our hearts and our listening. That, Lord, we will give you full attention. And that at the end of today, Lord, we will hear what you want us to hear. And we pray for souls to be saved. Today will be a day of salvation for some, and a time of encouragement and challenge for Christians. Lord, that we might seek for Jesus, who has sought for us. Lord, we thank you. We commit this hour into your hands. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, please be seated. I'll just make a few comments about Christmas, okay, to begin with, before we go right into the service per se, or rather the message per se. Christmas is not found in the Bible, all right? This might shock you. Okay, I said it yesterday. Christmas, as the world celebrates it, that is not found in the Bible, okay? What the world does, reindeers, you will not find reindeers in the Bible. Santa Claus is definitely not in the Bible. Christmas trees, it's not in the Bible. I know the world celebrates it in a particular way, all right? But Christmas itself is not found in the Bible. But the birth of Jesus is found in the Bible. And so that's where we're here, to understand a little bit more about the birth of Christ, okay? Now, in Matthew chapter 2, is an interesting passage, because you will find that the Lord Jesus Christ, before he came into this world, the first time, the angels of God actually spoke to different groups of people to announce the coming of Christ, all right? One of the first groups, the very first person that ever know about the coming of Christ is Zacharias and Elizabeth, okay? When Zacharias is supposed, the wife is supposed to carry the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. 6 months later, Angel Gabriel came to Mary and told her, "You will be with child of the Holy Ghost," okay? The angel came also. But that time, Mary said, well, God, I'll just listen to you. Then after that, Joseph had a heart attack because he was married to Mary, or rather he was supposed to be espoused to Mary, but Mary was with child. And then the angel of God had to come and tell Joseph, don't worry about that, it's all God's plan, you go ahead and still marry, all right? And because the child is of the Holy Ghost, all right? And then later on the angels came to the shepherds after Jesus came out. All right. After Jesus was born, came to the shepherds, look, go to Bethlehem. Tomorrow I'll be looking at Luke chapter 2 about the shepherds. And then the shepherds were excited. They went to tell everyone about this newborn babe. And for your information, this all the people that I just first told you about, they were all Jews. They were all Jews. You know, the difference between all the other people and this group of people is that this group of people are not Jews. In Matthew chapter 2, they are Gentiles, people like us. And that's an interesting thought, isn't it? That God, who sent the Jewish Messiah, still had us as Gentiles in his mind. And that's a wonderful thing about Christmas, where God's heart is so big that he encompasses everyone on this globe. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 to 12, the essence of the passage here is about some wise men coming from the east to come and seek for the King of the Jews, whom we know from this Bible is the Lord Jesus Christ. But did you know that when they came, they didn't even know his name yet? They didn't even know his name yet. There was no Facebook. So a son is born, you know, and his name is Jesus. No Facebook that time. And so when the wise men sought for this king, they didn't know his name. All right, we know it's Jesus in hindsight. But when they came to Jerusalem in Matthew chapter 2, verse 2, the question that they asked was, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Now this wise man came, and the question they asked was interesting because they know that a king is born. All right, after I'll explain to you how did they know. The Bible says they have seen the star in the east. These are people they are not locals. They are not local to Israel. They were from a far country. But they found out there was a king born in Israel, and that's why they have come. We must conclude that they know that there's a king that is born, and the reason why they are there is to find him so they can pay respect and reverence to this newborn king, okay, whom they know nothing about except that something told them. They did not actually say, is there a king? Or could you let me know if a king is born? The question was, where is that king? And that's an important thing, because in the question, you can find out that they have a determination in their hearts. That they know that there is someone that is born. There's someone that is born. They were looking for something. They were seeking for something. And I know the title of today is, where is he that is born King of the Jews? But I want us to think through, what are we looking for in this life? This wise man came from afar to look for a king. But in our own lives, what are we looking for? There was a man, his name is Rob. Okay, Robert, not this Robert. Okay, not this Robert. There was this man, his name is Robert. And what he did as for a living was, he would find old rocks. Okay, and then he would dig for rocks. And some of the rocks are pretty precious. And what he does is he has a little store. And so he will find the rocks that he has and he'll put it there and try to sell it to make a living. Okay? Apparently, sometimes when he sells the rocks, he didn't make enough. And so he had to, cut wood, okay, to try to make ends meet for his family. And so what happened was, later on, about 20 years ago, Rob found a rock which was very big. And he realized that he tried to sell this rock, but there was not many people who want to buy a big rock. And he guessed this big, apparently the rock was quite a bluish color. So he thought, well, it's this blue rock, I probably can sell it for maybe $500 and all that. And if I have an urgent need to pay a bill, I'll probably accept a lower price for it, you know. And you know what? It was fortunate for Rob because he didn't sell it. Because someone came and assessed that rock. The reason why it was big, and the reason why it was blue, because it was one of the biggest sapphire that man have ever found. And if he would sell it, it would worth $2.75 million. But he didn't know what he was looking for. All he thought about was how to make ends meet. Now, the reason why I brought this story out isn't it true that many time people in this life would chase after the certificate, would chase after that career, not realizing there is something more important to life. Something more important to life. And many men seek for things in this life, but you know what? Sometimes they don't find it. Whether it's a career, they get disappointed, etc. The wise men were not merely looking for a king to pay respect to. Little did they know, they were looking for the king of creation who will save their souls from hell. I will explain as we go along. Let me give you three points about this story. Number one, when this wise man was seeking for this king, they were given the knowledge of God. All right, in Matthew chapter 2, verse 2, once again, we just refer there. They came in. They say, where is that he that is born king of the Jews? Maybe I'll give you a little bit of background of the king. I'm sure you hear that there's three wise men, right? Now, we three kings of Orient. Okay, there were no three kings. Number one, you will not find three kings in the Bible. And generally, it's unsafe to travel with small groups during that time. And so generally, the king would be, they are not kings, they are wise men. All right? So that song is actually not very accurate. The Bible never say kings. The Bible say wise men. And usually they travel in groups, all right? Because they would have to travel from, when they travel, they don't have MRT, budget airline, etc., okay? They had to travel with camels and all that. They will go through deserts and all that. And generally, it's very dangerous there because there will be robbers who will try to take away their cargo and their things that they have. So the background was, as a whole group of people, with, can you imagine caravans and camels entering Jerusalem and all the people. You know, for us, Kepo Singaporeans, you see one float going past, everyone will stop. and sometimes on the expressway, there is jam. Not because there's an accident, because everyone slow down in Kepo. And so during that time, can you imagine as this caravan go into Jerusalem, everyone would stop and say, hey, where did these people come from? And what, they headed straight for King Herod. Headed straight for King Herod and asked, where is he that is born king of the Jews? Okay, and so the background was that these people that come, they were Gentiles first. They were Gentiles. It has been expressed that these people were probably from the Persian Empire. All right, the Medes, the tribe of the Medo Persian Empire. Now, if you think of Medo Persian Empire, which prophet of the Old Testament comes to your mind? FBI students, we just did it last semester. Daniel, okay? Daniel, the Medo-Persian Empire. Daniel was one of the prophets who actually was able to rule through four kings. Okay, Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, Cyrus, and Darius. Four kings, all right? He had a rulership of close to 80 years among these four kings, and he was one of the top rulers. But you know what? Daniel was a faithful man. And it was to Daniel that God gave the prophecy for until the end of the world, including the coming Messiah. All right? And so when these people actually saw, or these people were probably under the influence of Daniel, let's turn to one verse in the Bible, in Numbers chapter 24, verse 17. Okay? The first point is these kings or these wise men were given the knowledge of God. Numbers 24, verse 17. Numbers is in the fourth book of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Okay, fourth book of the Bible, all right, chapter 24, and verse 17. Let's read together so you might get a sense of where we're headed with this wise man story. Okay, Numbers 24, verse 17. Okay, let's read together. Ready? One, two, go. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheth. Okay? So this is a prophecy of Balaam. It's interesting, I shall see him, the Bible now say who, but not now. Okay? I shall behold him, but not near. But there shall come a star out of Jacob. Many commentators, many historians have tried to connect. And it's all in probability the star that the wise men saw was probably the star that Balaam was talking about. That at the time when the star appeared, the babe of Bethlehem will be born. Okay? And so the first one, this Gentile's faraway land were given the knowledge of God. Do you realize how fortunate we are? In Singapore, there are, you know how many churches are there in Singapore? About 500 to 600 churches. You know, during Christmas time, in Yishun, for example, I saw a pamphlet that the church was having caroling and they rented a double-decker bus and they were going to different blocks and singing. Okay, it was a church, one of the churches in Yishun. And you know who their guest of honor? The MP, MP for Chongpang? Which is a Muslim. No, it's not Chongpang, it's another one. Okay, Dr. Faisal. Oh, yeah. You realize how fortunate we are to have the knowledge of God. The joy to the world, the Lord is come. That's the knowledge of God. There is a God. Some people say, I don't believe in God. But you know what? When they're in trouble, they'll say, oh my. Why? You realize that every one of us know there is a God. You are not an atheist. You have to be an atheist by choice. Because in your conscience, you know that there's a God because there's a right and wrong. Okay? Now, in Singapore, there is a knowledge of God. You know, there are so many churches in Singapore, literally, that Singaporeans are without excuse. Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. The Gentile, this wise man, had the knowledge of God. What did they do? Point number two, they followed the knowledge that was given to them. Notice in verse 2 again. After they had seen the star, after they had been influenced by probably Daniel's influence over the whole Medo-Persian Empire. Daniel, if you read a bit about Daniel was an influential man. Every king loved him. They don't like what he believed in, but they loved him because he was a man of integrity. You know what? As Christians, we need to be men of integrity and ladies of integrity. So that even though people may not like what we believe, but they know that they can trust us. That was who Daniel was. And so when the wise man has been influenced by the teaching of Daniel through probably the centuries, they say, okay, the star has appeared. Oh, it's a special star. And so they followed the knowledge, no matter how little. I want to show you what they had to, how did they follow this knowledge they had. Number one, they followed the knowledge of God that was given to them, even though it was difficult. Even though it was difficult. That's your first point, okay, if you're writing down this. Because the journey from Persia to Jerusalem will take roughly 18 months. Now, that is an important statistic and fact for you. Because many times when you see the nativity scene, when the baby in the manger, you will have the three wise men standing there offering gifts to a baby. Okay? Now, if you read the Bible, let's look at Matthew chapter 2 and verse 11. The Bible didn't say, Matthew chapter 2 verse 11, the Bible never say it was a young child anymore. Okay? Because the Bible says in 11, when they were coming to the house, they saw a young child. We've married his mother. Okay? So when what you see in portrayals as Christian, you need to actually measure in the Bible. Okay? Number one, it's not a young infant anymore, but notice down in verse 16, what did Herod do? Because after the wise men came, they left. Herod was furious because he couldn't find this child, and he said in verse 16, then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceedingly angry and went for and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem in all the coasts thereof from, 2 years old and under. Okay? So this is just some information for you to realize whatever you see out there as Christians, we cannot just accept. We must base what we believe on the Bible. Okay? Young children, after this, before you eat, I will ask you why Jesus is not a baby when the wise man came. Okay? So you have to tell me why I just told you. All right? Just roll it down. Okay, this is just an information for you. But it was difficult because it was 18 months. And they have to go through difficult terrain. It was dangerous because there were places there were robbers and thieves. Yet, despite the difficulty, they will come and look for this king. You know, many people, when we give them a tract, for example, or when we give them information to come to church or at least understand about Christ, you know what they say? Oh, too early, too far. Actually, Singapore is not far. Do you agree? Singapore is not very far. Where people will say in Pasir Ris, they come to church. Singapore is not far, actually. But you know what? But yet this wise man had the knowledge in them to look for the king. Number one, even though it was difficult, they went to look for the king. Number two, they went to look for the king with the knowledge they had, even though they had partial knowledge. They had partial knowledge. It wasn't everything. And Christians, I want us to understand this point. Notice what they say in Matthew chapter 2, verse 2. For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When they came to King Herod, they said, where is he? They didn't know everything. All they knew was a star told them to come. And they knew that that star represents the king that will be born. And to them, it was important. And so they followed the information that they have. Some believe that the star in the east shone brighter than any of the stars in the east that night. And so when the wise men saw it, they come, oh, there must be a special star. And they betrayed. A lot of people who do not believe in the Bible would say, well, this is just a phenomenon that happened, a comet or so on. But you know what? If the angels appeared to the shepherds to announce the coming of Christ, if the angels came to Mary to announce the coming of Christ, I don't think it's very far-fetched for us to understand. God probably put a special star that night. And probably the star may have eyes or sunglasses, I don't know, to look at. Wise men say, "Can there is a wise, there's a king that's born." God probably put that in the sky for them. Yet the star, it was a miraculous announcement. The star was the only thing that guided them. There was no information. All they knew, follow that star. Follow that star. I like to actually touch on this a bit because God's light often lights only the next step. Think about that for a while. God's light oftentimes shines only at the next step. When we choose to follow God, when we choose to follow the light to the next step, God will then show us more light. And that's something we need to understand. When I teach my children to write and all that, usually, let's say I teach a three-year-old to write. Say, I'm going to teach you how to spell elephant. Okay, it's E-L-E-P-H. I'm not going to teach them that. I want to teach them the strokes first. And when the child is willing to follow one stroke, then I can teach him the next stroke. Does it make sense? And many times in our faith with God, God may just show us enough light for the next step. As Singaporeans, kiasu, we always want to know the big picture first. Yes? But you know what God sometimes says? No, you take the next step, and I'll show you the next step. You know what that is? That's faith. That's faith. Because the Bible says, Proverbs 16, verse 9, just listen, man's heart devises his way. In other words, they have intentions, they have plans, but God directeth his steps. God leads us every step of the way. We have people who come over here for jobs and all that, and maybe there are things which have happened in their life. You know, can I challenge you, Christians? Don't try to look for the big picture. Ask God, God, what do you want me to do next? And that's an important thing. They only had partial knowledge, but they followed Christ. Then in verse 3 to 8, I'm going to go through a very interesting passage now. In verse 3 to 8, they followed the knowledge that God gave them, irregardless of other people's response. Look at verse 3. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. Now Herod was agitated. If you know the history of Herod, Herod is one of the most cruel kings and most power-hungry kings of Jerusalem during that time. He would even kill his own family members to ensure he stayed on the throne. That was how evil he was. So can you imagine when the wise man who had no baggage and said, where is he that's born king of the Jews? What do you think he first thought? Well, it's not challenged my throne. And the Bible says in verse 3, when Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. You know why all Jerusalem was troubled with him? When the king gets angry, everyone trembles. That was what happened. All right? Okay, we better watch out, you know. You don't know whether you're the next guy to get executed. And so what he did was when he gathered all the people, the chief priests, the scribes, the people, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And so King Herod said, look, this wise man said there's a king. You guys should know this. Tell me, where is he born? And of course, then the religious leaders came and said, well, he was born, he's going to be born in Bethlehem. Right where, right there. And so when Herod actually found out, oh, Bethlehem, he told the wise men to come and say, well, you well, go and find this child. And when you found him, bring word to me so that I may come and worship him. His intention was to kill him because it was a challenge to his authority. You know, the wise men followed God irregardless of people's response. There were two responses that we find. King Herod's response. What was King Herod's response? He was more concerned for his own advancement. He was more concerned for his own career. He was more concerned for his own life and his own position and his own ambition. He didn't care about this. He was the Jewish king who didn't know about the Jewish Messiah. Think about that. He is a Jewish king. And do you know one interesting thing? Every Jewish king is commanded by God to have a copy of the law. They need to know the law. But this Jewish king didn't bother about the law. He was more concerned for his own advice. He had his own priorities. He could care less about this king and this Messiah that would save Israel from their sins. Then there was the religious leaders. The religious leaders were the wise so-called counselors of the king. All right, I'll ask you to follow with me. When they were asked, okay, go and find out about this person, they found out in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, about Jesus being born in Bethlehem. They told the king, you know what happened? To the wise men, the searching for the information about the Messiah was merely, are you listening, an intellectual exercise. Because it didn't affect them in any way. Is it possible that many so-called people who come to churches all over Singapore and all over the world, even tonight, that listening to this is a merely intellectual exercise? Teenagers, as you come to church, what is your thinking? Oh, daddy asked me to come, so I come, Lord. The Bible says, thy word is a lamp to my feet, light to my path. God's word guides us in our life. But it is unfortunate many Christians fall because the word of God is just merely an intellectual exercise. There is no change in their lives. You know what? Over the 2 years we have in Singapore, many Christians in Singapore has fallen to greed, to immorality, to whatever. Why? Is it possible that when they read God's word, it was merely an intellectual exercise? Why are so many Christian families broken? Is it because God didn't teach them to live in a family? Do you realize that God had many things to say about the family? And that if we will follow it, we will have a strong family? But is it possible many Christians just treat it as an intellectual exercise? So there's two responses. But you know what? Not the wise man. God, you showed me a little bit of information. Whatever I know, I do my best with it. And they followed information. But not to the wise man. They were there, although it was difficult, dangerous. Although they had partial knowledge, yet the knowledge was so important that they gave of their time to search out this new king. And one more point. They followed the knowledge of God given to them by faith. By faith. Why do I say by faith? They had no knowledge except that a king was born, the king of the Jews. There was, I wrote here, there's no internet, no Facebook, no Jerusalem, Twitter, or any of that sort. They had nothing to follow. It was all by faith, okay? And they had not some knowledge, and they followed it, not knowing where they went. Now, one of the things I learned when I was in overseas training, in navigation exercises, after a while, you know, when you get lost a few times, you begin to realize, okay, this is what you need to do. All right, so overseas, when I was overseas training one time, and we're supposed to navigate to find some checkpoints, okay? And so I realized the fastest way to find the place and reach there is firstly, use a compass. Use the map. And with the map, you mark where you are. You mark where you're supposed to go. You draw a straight line. You find what you call the azimuth, the degrees. You tune the compass. And you aim and you just follow. I don't care what's in between. That's how I do it, okay? And what I did was, I realized when I put, and there was like bushes. I said, no, must follow. Just patch, patch. We call it chong now. We just go, you know, because that's where the direction was. And finally, we realized as we were doing that, we found a little trail, okay? That was exactly where we were. And finally, thank God, at the end, we found. I had no knowledge of what was over the other side. All I had was a compass, the map, and I just followed. Can I say this? The Bible is very clear. Thy word is a lamp to my feet. If you follow the Bible, do you realize you have success in your life? How many of you like success in your life? Put up your hand. No one wants success in your life. That's okay. But let's turn to Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Okay, let's just give you that. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Success in your life. Joshua 1, verse 8. And let's read this verse together. Joshua 1, verse 8. I think we all know the verse, but let's read it. It's a reminder of the Word of God, the sixth book of the Bible after Deuteronomy. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy are the books of Moses. By Deuteronomy, Moses died, and so Joshua was the next one. So Joshua is the sixth book of the Bible. Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 8. The Bible says, let's read together, okay? Ready? 1, 2, go. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, that thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You know, Joshua was a military leader. And the military strategy to conquer the promised land was not what the military leaders do. God says, you follow what I say. God says, you meditate on my law. Can I say this? Everything that God writes here is necessary for your life and living. And therefore, when we follow God, will give us good success. You know what? This wise man followed by faith and set the compass, and they followed by faith. And the third point and the final point, firstly, just recap, all right? The first point was God has given them some knowledge. Number two, they followed that knowledge. And number three, they found the Savior. They found the Savior of this world. Look at verse number 9. Look at verse number 9. The Bible says, after they have heard the king said, well, go and find the child, bring me word again, that I can't worship him. Verse 9, when they heard the king, they left the palace, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them. It seems that the star was following them. It could be the star said, hey guys, this way, you know. After the wise men left the palace, they looked up, so the star was there. And it went before them. They continued to go, and what they did was just follow the star. You know how they found the Savior? They obeyed God. They followed the Savior. They found the Savior by obedience. They just followed whatever information they have. They obeyed God, number one. Number two, they found the Savior of the world in verse 10. This is important. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. When they saw the star, when they saw the star that they have been following for the last 18 months, when they saw the star stop at a particular house, at that time, they went in, they rejoiced. You know why? And the Bible says they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. The principle there is they had joy because of what? They realized that God was the one who pointed them to that particular house. It was all of grace. When they left Persia to go to Jerusalem, it was God guiding them. When the star continued to move, it was God guiding them. When they came to Jerusalem, and when King Herod found out, even from the wise men, that this Christ child was going to be born in Bethlehem, it was God's grace. When they left the palace and walked to Bethlehem and found the house, it was God's grace. When they rejoiced, they realized it's all of God's grace. It's all of God's grace. Do you realize the fact that we are alive today is God's grace? The fact that we are alive today and able to listen to this message is God's grace. Do you realize that we don't deserve? What is grace? What is grace? Grace is something that God gives to us that we do not deserve. My friends and church members, I think we all know that the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are all sinners by birth and sinners by choice. When we are born sinners. The Bible is clear on that. As we grow older, yesterday I preached on how the law of sin grabs us and enslaves us. That no matter how smart we are, no matter how high ranking we are, we can still fall to sins like covetousness, immorality, because of sin. And because we all have sinned, the Bible says that the wages of sin is eternal death. And you know what? God could have just said, you guys are useless. Whatever I tell you, you don't want to do. God could have just destroyed us. The Bible says that the spiritual consequences of sin is an eternal separation from God in a place called a lake of fire. You know, that is a very scary thought. That's a very scary thought. Every man who has ever lived on this earth is a sinner. And every man who has ever lived on this earth is condemned by sin to spend an eternity in the lake of fire separated from God. Now, some people will say, well, God is very petty. Just because Adam and Eve eat one fruit, now he sent the whole world to hell. You know, sometimes people will have that kind of thought. There was one particular, one teenager actually challenged me on that one time. And he'll say, hey, I think God is very petty. You know, eat one fruit only and send the whole world to hell. I think God is very petty. So I actually then explained to him, well, my wife is, Lydia was there. I think she's with someone now, sharing the gospel perhaps. So I said, well, Lydia is my wife. Okay, I say, yeah, okay, Auntie Lydia is my wife. I say, what if someone touches her one time in an inappropriate way? How do you think I will feel? Well, I say, never mind lah, one time never mind. Brother Robert, how will you feel if someone touches Sister Gemma in a way that's not very nice? Huh? It's war. Does that make sense? Just because we don't think it's okay, doesn't mean God thinks it's okay. You know what? God thinks a lot more serious about sin than we do. You know why? History is repeating itself. Sin destroys, 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 destroys. Every family that is destroyed is because of sin. Every company, every friendship that is destroyed is because of sin. Selfishness, pride. Everything that's ever been destroyed in this life that is good has been destroyed. The fact that we grow old is because of sin. The fact that our teeth drop off and cannot enjoy food is because of sin. Corruption. You know what? God hates sin. He hates sin so much that he said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. That's God's requirement. But you know, I'm sure you've heard of this. God is God of love. God says, hey, if I let these people go to hell, that's what they deserve. But you know what God says? The Bible says, 1 John 4 verse 8, God is love. God doesn't just give love. He is the essence of love. And what did he do? In John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So at that particular point, do you realize we don't deserve? We are by choice and by birth sinners. But God, by his grace, sent the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't deserve heaven. We don't deserve eternal life. But God gave it because of his grace. When the wise men, when they heard the king, they left the palace. But as soon as they saw the star again, they followed and they rejoiced. They found the Savior of the world by God's grace. Can I say, if you ever become a Christian, it was because of God's grace. Did you know that? Some people say, I don't need God. You sure you don't need God? You realize our breath is controlled by God. Some people who don't believe in God, I don't believe that. You don't believe that doesn't mean it's not true. How many of you believe that? Some people say, I don't see God, and therefore God's not true. We don't see air, do we? Can you see air? You can't see air, but it's existing. We don't know how the car works, but we use the car. Just because we don't know, just because we can't see, doesn't mean it's not true. You know what? Every one of us knows that there's a God. It is only by choice that we reject that knowledge. But yet, God, despite the rejection of this world, he still sent the Lord Jesus Christ. And they found the Savior of the world. But notice their heart. Look at verse 11. When they were coming to the house, they saw the young child and Mary, his mother. They fell down and worshipped him. You know, they came with a heart of worship. They came with a heart of worship, seeking for Christ. They came for the king that they didn't know much about, but they knew that there was something special. But they came with a heart of worship. They worshiped God. But guess what? And this is an important lesson for Christians. When you worship God, in the Jewish times, every time there's a worship time, worship is always equals to giving of gifts to the one they worship. And that's why you see the wise men, they open up their gold, their frankincense, and their myrrh. When we worship God, you know, sometimes when we think of worship, we just worship is not singing songs. Singing songs is singing songs. When you worship, number one, God wants to see our heart. Number two, as an expression of that worship, what do we give to God? What do we give to God? You know, this might just be an intellectual exercise, but as we close, can I just wrap it up by just sharing with you a few thoughts? Look at Romans chapter 10, verse 5. These wise men were seeking for the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't know him, but they found him in the end. The Romans chapter 10, okay, it's in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, okay? Romans chapter 10, verse 5. The Bible says, I'll just read through and I'll to explain a bit as we close. For Moses describeth a righteousness which is of the law, that a man which doeth those things should live by them. What Paul here is saying, Paul is the author of Romans, and what he's saying when Moses wrote in the law, if you want to live by the law, you must follow the law 100% without breaking anything. Whether in your thinking, whether in your heart, whether on your daily basis. In other words, every word you speak mustn't be vulgar, mustn't even have the idea of evil, because the Bible says a thought of foolishness is sin. The moment you think wrong, it's sin. None of us can control our minds like that. We will think wrong sometimes, but we won't let it out. Yes, all of us do that. But you know, Moses described the righteousness which is of the Lord, that the man that doeth those things shall live by them. If we think that we can get to heaven or just do the right thing, you know, there's this popular thinking, I hope my right things, my bad things will outweigh my good things, and therefore I'll be in heaven. You know what? No, that's not God. And I give you a very simple illustration in Singapore. In Singapore, when you have done charity work, you've helped everyone, but you throw litter, what happens? And you got caught by police. What happened? You have to be fined for that, right? You cannot go to the judge and say, look, I have given money to charity, I bought the raffle ticket, I help the every Sunday I go to church also, you know, and you cannot find me for that. Say no, yeah, I know you have a good man here, but you broke the law. And what if you say I choose not to pay the fine? What will happen? But Joshua, what will happen? I'm not saying that you got it before. Okay, what will happen if I threw little? I don't want to pay. Not yet, lah. Okay, generally, they'll send you another letter like, please compound this, otherwise the next thing will be, psh, you have to appear in court. Okay, and still at the court, still define what they do. Psh, you go to jail. Why? You're a good citizen. But you know, because you never settled this, you're guilty of the whole law. You're a criminal. Can I say this? Do you realize the laws in Singapore are based on the laws of England when they first started, and all laws of England are based on the Bible? And that is what God means. Just because I've been a pastor for the last 10 years, it doesn't mean I can short-live and get away with it. If I've short-lived and the police catch me, I have to pay the fine and I'll lose my pastorate. I have no more credibility. Yeah, I've been good men. I help many people by God's grace. But still, if I broke the law, I'm sin. I've sinned. Does it make sense? And so before God, if we try to say that I just want to do my good deeds, we can't. Because the Bible says all have sinned. But in verse 6, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. If we want to live by the law, that's the only way of salvation. But there's another way. The Bible says, the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall ascend into the deep, that is to bring Christ again from the dead. In verse 8, what saith it? Some people say, Brother Johnny, you know, I'm looking for the truth. I'm looking for eternal life. I'm looking. You know what? The wise man had to walk 18 months to look for truth. You don't have to. You know why? In verse 8, the Bible says, the word is nigh thee, even in your mouth and in thine heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. My friends, if you are here and not a Christian, can I say this? You don't have to go seeking for Christ. He's right here. He's right here in His Word. He has shown us by His Word. He says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The Bible says in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. The Bible says, repent and be baptized, every one of you. If you truly trust Christ, in Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. In Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Revelation 3:20 tells us, behold, I stand at the door of your heart and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open unto me, I will come into him and I will sup with him and he with me. You realize Jesus Christ has already paid for your sins even before you ask him. You know, I was reading one commentary. This is for tomorrow a little bit, but I'll keep it tomorrow. But here, the meaning here is, look, we don't have to. You know, some people will go to different countries and they go pilgrimages to look for the truth so they can have eternal salvation. God says, what's that for? It's already been done. Brother Johnny, it's not that easy to be a Christian just to pray a prayer. Yes, it's easy for us, but it costs God everything. It costs God His Son. Oh, Christian, and when you think about Christmas tonight, when you think about the birth of Christ tonight, don't ever forget that it is easy for us to be a Christian. It costs our Savior everything. When He came to earth, He's already suffered. He left heaven's glory for us. So what must we do? The Bible says in verse 9 and verse 10 in Romans, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thy heart that God had raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's what it means. It's very simple. That after you've received this knowledge, did Jesus die for my sins? Yes, He did. Do we confess that we are sinners? Yes, I confess. Do you know that you cannot save yourself? Yes, I do. Do you believe Jesus would die for you? Yes, He did. Would you accept Him? Yes, I will. That if you confess in your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart. Now, what's that two thing? Many people say, I believe, but you know, it's okay lah. I'll just keep it private. The Bible says we need to believe in our heart and we need to confess it. There's not to be any secret agent Christians, because you know why? God wants, because if you truly believe, it will come out. Okay? The Bible says here, if you believe that, you will be saved. Verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And the Bible says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. People may insult you here, but one day when they stand before God, the Bible says you will not be ashamed. So as we close, have you trusted Christ as your personal Savior? I know there's a lot of words. I hope God will just speak in your heart. If you try to make it to heaven by your own ways, you're not going to make it, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, as Christians, just want a few more minutes and we'll close. I'll give you an illustration for Christians. The body of David Livingstone was buried in England where he was born. But his heart was buried in Africa. Did you know that? If you read the life of David Livingstone, his body was shipped back to England. But his heart, they buried in Africa. You know why? Because to David Livingstone, at the foot of a tall tree in a small African village, the native dug a hole and placed in it the heart of this man, whom they loved and respected. And David Livingstone is a Christian. When he was the first missionary, I believe, to maybe one of the first to go to Africa. And he loved the people of Africa. To the point that when he died, they shipped his body back. The heart was buried in Africa, the nation in which they loved. He loved. Christians, are you looking for the Lord Jesus Christ to be Lord of your life? Where is your heart? Is it in the things of this world? Are we like the wise men that come seeking for Christ with all our hearts, even though they didn't have much? They didn't have much knowledge, but all they knew, they acted on it. Will we honor the Lord and seek Him? Are we a Jewish wise man whereby our search for Christ is merely an intellectual exercise? Will our lives be complicated or confused? Because every time we read the Bible, it's just an intellectual exercise. That we just read it to stimulate our thinking. Or will we be a Herod where our ambitions will come first? Or will we be a wise man from the east, seeking the Lord Jesus to worship him and giving him what? Do you know what is due to our Lord Jesus? Do you know what belongs to him? If you're truly a Christian, do you know what belongs to him? What belongs to him as a Christian? Let's take a final verse in 1 Corinthians 6, then we'll close. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20. Let's read the two verses together, and then we'll close. Ready? One. Let's read together. Ready? One, two, go. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Christian, if you are saved, truly born again, we don't belong to ourselves anymore. We belong to God who bought us. Our activities, our direction in life, our motivations, our ambitions, the activities we have with our friends, you know what? It belongs to God. You know, when I married my wife, I didn't surrender my liberty. I gave her my life. And when we become Christians, it's the same thing. Many Christians say, well, beyond Christian, I do this, do that, do this, do that. It's not that. When you love someone, it's no longer a chore. And may God help us today to be wise men. Because today, wise men are still seeking him. I hope you don't leave this place and say, oh, this is an intellectual exercise. But I hope that God has spoken to your hearts in some way. Let's have a word of prayer as we close. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. Everyone is quiet. I thank you for the quietness. And Lord, thy word has been spoken. There are many things that have been said. But Father, I'm asking you to speak to our hearts in a special way. Lord, the wise men have shown us the example of their searching. They were given, Lord, some knowledge. They followed that knowledge. And finally, they found the Savior of this world. And God, I believe with all my heart, we'll see the wise men in heaven one day because they trusted you. They worshipped you. They served you by giving you some gifts. Lord, we pray that tonight, we who are sitting here will give you our hearts. Father, we thank you for the simple message. And I pray, Lord, the wise men will always be a thought in our hearts. How they sought you with all their hearts, despite the difficulties, Lord, despite others' responses, when no one would respond to you, Father, in their hearts they will. And so, Lord, they sought you by faith. And Father, I pray for one who do not know Christ today. And I pray after seeing the invitation, Lord, you would open their hearts. With our eyes closed, heads bowed, no one looking around. Not here to embarrass you, but as Christians, are you seeking the Lord to love him? Or is church, is Bible reading an intellectual exercise or just a routine that we go through? May this Christmas be different. Perhaps God has spoken to your heart and said, Brother Johnny, pray for me that God will help me not to allow my Christian faith to just become an intellectual exercise. Is there anyone like that? Say, Brother Johnny, pray for me that I will live for God, thanking him for what he's done. That I will seek Christ like the wise men did. Even though it's hard, even though, not, amen, I see that hand. Is there anyone else? Even though, amen, I see that hand too. Is there anyone else? Is there anyone else? Say, Brother Johnny, pray for me that I will not. I want to follow Christ because he's done so much for me. Is there anyone else? All right, if you're here, you're not a Christian. We're not here to embarrass you, but is there something in your heart that says, I need to find out more about this? If Jesus, I know there's commercialization and there's gifts and all that, but maybe this is the first time you heard that Jesus Christ loves you so much that he died on the cross for you, that he came into this world. Say, Brother Johnny, I don't know much, but like the wise man, I'd like to do something about it. I'd like to find out. Is there anyone who would say, Brother Johnny, I'm not a Christian, I know that, but I do like to find out. We're not asking you to join the church. We're not asking you for money. We just want to share with you from God's word. Is there anyone who will say, Rajani, pray for me and get someone to help me, and that's what we'll do. Is there anyone like this? Say, I'm not too sure. If I die right now, I'll be in heaven. Is there anyone? Oh, you need that peace with God above all things. You need that peace with God. Is there anyone? All right, if not, let's pray. Father, we thank you. Just a short invitation, but Lord, you see the hearts of Christians who have put up their hands. Oh God, I pray that you, for those brethren who have put up their hands, I pray you give them double portion of their of thy grace and thy strength. Father, that they will be like the wise men. Lord, that in every day of their lives, Lord, they will walk with you. They will follow the star, as in 2 Peter chapter 1, about the day star arising in their hearts. They will follow the star of your word on a daily basis, that their friends can see who Jesus is in their lives. I pray, Lord, that even as they take the next step of faith, you give them adequate light, that they might be able to find your will and your way. And that when people see their lives, they might be able to find the Christ-like too. Lord, for the rest of us, as we meditate on what has happened that night, we pray and thank you once again for the love that you have shown us by sending your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into this world. God, we love you. Forgive us the many times, Lord, that we failed you. But yet, Lord, when we see the faithfulness of yourself as God, who loves us so much, help us, Lord, to follow you with all our hearts. Thank you for what you're going to do. We pray that you would encourage us, Lord, even as we close to sing our final song, O Holy Night, that, Lord, your Holy Spirit will continue to speak through these words. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.